It's been a year of recovery for Hollywood. Ticket sales bounced back during the summer. So did the number of films released to theaters. And while the numbers are still only about two-thirds of what they were before the pandemic, they represent a big jump from the last 2 years. As for the quality of the new releases, well, that's up too, judging from critic Bob Mondello's 10 best list, which positively overflows.
Two solid years of studios holding back, theaters hanging on, audiences thinking twice, and then suddenly in the spring it was everything, everywhere, all at once. Just as folks were coming out of pandemic-era lockdowns, a comedy about infinite possibilities, less chaos theory than chaos practical.
What's happening?
A middle-aged Asian businesswoman gets a big surprise during a tax audit.
I'm not your husband. I'm another version of him from another universe. I'm here because we need your help.
Very busy today. No time to help you.
Doesn't matter. She'll learn to multiverse hop in pursuit of her best self. Everything Everywhere All at Once leads a parade of impressive films this year centering on women. Another is Tar, in which Cate Blanchett gives a breathtaking performance as a symphony conductor who tells an interviewer early on that she is all about control.
The illusion is that, like you, I'm responding to the orchestra in real time, making the decision about the right moment to restart the thing or reset it or throw time out the window altogether. The reality is that right from the very beginning, I know precisely the exact moment that you and I will arrive at our destination together.
That level of control doesn't work out very well for Lydia Tarr, and it's almost unimaginable for the women in an isolated religious colony who are told in Sarah Polley's Women Talking that to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must forgive their abusers.
We know that we've not imagined these attacks. We know that we are bruised and infected and pregnant, and some of us are dead.
We cannot forgive because we are forced to.
Women Talking is a passionate adaptation of a best-selling novel. For a real-life instance of the power of one woman talking, there's the documentary All the Beauty and the Bloodshed, which explores photographer Nan Golden's career as an artist.
Photography is like a flash of euphoria. And gave me a voice.
Then shows how she used that voice in a long shot but successful crusade to hold the museum endowing Sackler family accountable for the opioid addiction crisis caused by their company Purdue Pharma.
We need to demand that the Met Museum, the Louvre, the Tate refuse donations from the Sacklers and take down their name.
All the Beauty and the Bloodshed qualifies as art in its own right. Something you could also say of the Bloodshed Without Beauty epic that is All Quiet on the Western Front, the first German-made version of the wrenching anti-war classic about a hapless German soldier in World War I. Sweeping and horrifying in its carnage, All Quiet on the Western Front feels as if it's acquired fresh resonance as soldiers die by the thousands in Ukraine. A conflict of a more intimate sort fuels The Banshees of Inisherin, about a longtime friendship that one day simply ceases to be.
If I've done something to you, just tell me what I've done to you. And if I've said something to you, maybe I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it, but I don't think I said something when I was drunk and I've forgotten it. But if I did, then tell me what it was, and I'll say sorry for that too, Colin.
But you didn't say anything to me, and you didn't do anything to me.
Well, that's what I was thinking, like.
I just don't like you no more.
You liked me yesterday.
Banshees of Inisherin is a tale of buddies that plays like a blood feud. That's six of my top 10. The next two are foreign language films, though the first of them barely has any language at all.
Io
centers on a donkey who is cast adrift when a Polish circus is disbanded.
Io!
A portrait of modern Europe as seen through the biggest brown eyes imaginable, Io is at once a curiosity, an adventure, and an emotionally freighted commentary on humans and nature. Definitely not for children. The Korean detective story, Decision to Leave, feels far more conventional until, at midpoint, it changes course. Vertigo inspired, but very much its own vision, it boasts lush romance, obscure motives, and characters you trust about as far as the director can drop them off a cliff. If Decision to Leave reminds movie buffs of Hitchcock, the drama Living will remind them of Kurosawa. It's a British remake of To Live, Kurosawa's Japanese portrait of a bureaucrat who doesn't look for purpose in his life.
Dan, you're right.
Until a doctor tells him his life is almost over.
If only to be alive for one day. But I realize it. I don't know how.
Bill Nighy's character learns to make a joyful noise without ever raising his voice. And rounding out the top 10, The Fabelmans, Steven Spielberg's fictionalized account of his own childhood and his discovery, with a little help from his mom, that the world, even his model train set, looks different through the lens of a movie camera.
We're going to use Daddy's camera to film it. Only crash the train once, okay? Then after we get the film developed, you can watch it crash over and over till it's not so scary anymore.
The Fabelmans qualifies as Spielberg's most heartfelt film, which is saying something. 10 is an arbitrary number, so I'm going to breeze right past it. Spielberg wasn't alone in celebrating the silver screen while a lot of people are watching films on home screens. La La Land's Damien Chazelle gives us a 3-hour bacchanalian comedy about Hollywood in the roaring 20s called Babylon.
Where do you say we come in for my close-up now?
While he's looking at the 20s, director Jordan Peele has a fresh take on 1950s sci-fi in the genre-expanding alien invasion flick, Nope.
You guys gonna tell me what's going on?
Hell no.
Also looking at film itself, the documentary 3 Minutes A Lengthening, which does a fascinating deep dive into some rediscovered pre-World War II footage, and No Bears, in which filmmaker Jafar Panahi, who's spent the last decade banned from making movies in Iran, plays a director named Jafar Panahi, who's making a film just outside Iran. Panahi was recently imprisoned by Iranian authorities, so No Bears registers as a cinematic protest. Also from Iran, Asghar Farhadi's caustic social commentary, A Hero, about a man who becomes a celebrity after seeming to do a good deed. There's also a caustic French commentary, Happening, in which a college student seeks an abortion, harrowing in the 1960s and sadly feeling way too current for comfort. Meanwhile, parents and children are centered in the eerie thriller Nanny, about a woman caring for a youngster in New York so she can bring her own child from Senegal.
Very soon, Lamin.
Always very soon.
And the warm but wrenching After Sun, about a dad on vacation with his 11-year-old daughter.
You know, I want you to know that you can talk to me about anything. Whatever parties you go to, boys you meet, drugs you take.
Dad.
Family and youth are also front and center in one of the year's most intriguing sci-fi films, an eco-fable in which humans seem hell-bent on destroying an entire planet. No, not the one that has tall blue folks with tails. A little indie flick called Vesper, after the 13-year-old who's trying to fix a bioengineering disaster that's wiped out all of the world's crops.
I need to find a key to unlock the seeds and make them fertile. So we never starve again.
Vesper, made for a fraction of what Avatar probably spent on catering, uses mostly practical effects to deliver its environmental message, which is not to diss what James Cameron accomplished with a $400 million budget, motion capture critters floating in digitized water that may not be wet, but that's satisfyingly drenched with symbolism. Skip the plot, check out the visuals, and let's say we count The Way of Water as the year's most persuasive animated film. That'll round out a second 10. Not bad for a year that Hollywood spent playing catch-up. I'm Bob Mandela.